Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Danny, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. We're back with you after 3 days off.
Good morning.
Today is Tuesday, June 12th, and we're back. I still sound a little sick, right?
Yeah, you sound, actually you do. Very but do sick. I sound a little sick? Because I feel like I do too.
Maybe a little bit, but yeah. Not that much. You know, I'm just nasally and stuff, coughing. But so we tried
to spare
you.
Probably got me sick.
Yeah, probably.
Thanks, Sam.
No, you know how I got sick? I'm pretty sure. My mom had to go to the hospital. And I went to emergency, and I'll bet you everybody there is sick.
Oh, yeah, and the germs and stuff, just from breathing it in the air.
Yeah, the next day I was sick.
Yeah.
I don't know what the fuck.
Isn't it weird that you could just be, like, breathing and get sick?
Yeah.
Because I was perfectly fine yesterday, woke up this morning, and I couldn't even swallow. And I was like, what? Yeah. How does that happen in 5 hours?
I know, and for me, it usually happens. It starts with the throat, like you,
and then a cough.
And then you cough, and then it gets to your nose and everything else.
See, I didn't want to like let it wait to get to a cough, so I just I had antibiotics in my drawer, and I was like, I'm going to take this morning.
Really, without a prescription, just antibiotics?
Yep.
Wow.
No. When I went back home for 2 months, my doctor's like he's like my homie, and I'm like, hey, can you just give me like a few Z-Pack packs?
Oh, okay. So it was antibiotics for a cold.
For a cold, yeah, it's a Z-Pack.
Yeah.
You know the Z-Pack. Everyone takes a Z-Pack when they're sick.
Really? I don't.
You don't know what that is? Mm-mm. Really? It's like a 5-day antibiotic.
Oh, well, yeah, I wish I'd known
easy.
About that
yeah.
one.
So he gave me like 4 packs of that, and I just took one.
Well,
okay. I started to take one.
Well, we're back with you, and we have 2 beautiful guests in the studio. They'll be on in just a moment. And if you want to check us out, go on Facebook, LA Talk Radio's page, and you'll see us there. And everybody's sharing, so we're all just a big, happy family this morning.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So the big news, of course, is the summit in Singapore. Did you hear that actually Trump and Kim signed an agreement?
No, I don't keep
You don't
with,
give a
yeah,
shit?
No.
Okay, well, let's say the world is a little safer today than
I feel like
yesterday.
They both argued with each other for, like, Twitter followers. I feel like he is the President Trump of wherever the fuck he's from.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know. Whether you like him or not, he brings people down to their fucking knees. I mean, who would have been able to do that, you know?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. But we have guests that don't like Trump. I can already tell.
Yeah, no, neither do I.
They're very liberal.
Yeah.
So we're going to have we're going to have an interesting conversation today on a lot of topics and everything. And I'm probably going to get attacked from all directions, but at least we're going to have a good discussion.
Exactly.
Right? An educational one. And that's what we're here for, to educate you and give you shit. So, I mean, that's a big deal. Look, big headlines, big everything. And, you know, I don't think anybody can disagree that without a nuclear North Korea, we would be a little safer, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So they signed an agreement that they're not going to nuke us. Is that what you're saying?
Well, pretty much they're going to destroy everything that they have. So we'll see. I mean,
oh,
now
yeah,
it's
okay.
Just words. They're just words. But wait a minute. You got to understand some. The reason they do, the reason they were brought to their knees is because there's so many economic sanctions on them that they can't function. You know, the world is not transacting with them. So what happens is they're like strangled. So they have no choice.
Yeah, but I mean, do you really think that they're going to get rid of every single one of their nuclear bombs?
I think it's in their best interest if they... I'll tell you why they're so armed, because they're a paranoid country, and with justification. I mean, everybody's against them. You know, they're like... they're all on their own.
Mm-hmm.
They abuse their people. They do a lot of things that... that are terrible, and nobody wants to deal with them. So when you put the sanctions on them, they have nothing left to do but just bomb the world.
Right.
So they figured, well, let's find alternatives, you know? So that's that. There's going to be a lot of talk, I'm sure, about this for weeks, and we'll see what happens, you know? But at any rate, I wanted to... So how was your weekend?
It was interesting, to say the least.
Really? Do you want to tell us about it? You seem to like you're waiting to.
Why do I seem like I'm? I actually just like, I went out last night, but I didn't even go out late. I just like, I went to like this Pretty Little Thing party, and then I went to Laugh Factory for a comedy show, and I was in bed by like 11:30. But I feel like I haven't slept in 10 years.
Right.
I don't. Maybe because I'm sick. I don't know. But yeah. Like I'm dragging ass.
So you were tired.
I didn't even drink.
Oh yeah, wow! So you that
sober evening for me?
It.
Yeah, so it's weird. Friday night. What did I do Friday? Oh, Friday night I stayed home, but then my girlfriend called me at like 12:30, right when I was about to go to bed, hysterically crying, was like, "Can I come over?" And I was like, "Fuck, sure." So I like made her pasta at like 1 a.m. Listened to her cry till about 3 a.m. And then Saturday, I told you how I joined Bumble, right?
Yeah, what happened there? Any news?
So I went to, I hung out with the actor that we had on here, Emmerith. I went to his little cocktail party.
Emmerith.
So I went to his cocktail party. And
you hung out with him? Good for you.
Yeah. But I brought my girlfriend with me that I did the reality show with.
Right. So how did you guys connect? Like after the show or something?
Instagram, yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah. Cool.
So he had like a cocktail party. There's a bunch of people there. It was like he had a DJ. We stayed for like 2 hours. And then I was like, hey, we're going to Avenue tonight, but we got time to kill. Let's go meet up with this Bumble guy. Because he says he's with his friend. Fucking mistake.
Wow.
Yeah. What like happened? Lunatic.
Really?
Yeah.
And he came with a friend?
Yeah. I mean, his friend was mad cool, but he was married.
Really?
Yeah. Hitting on my friend all night. I'm like, this isn't cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have no faith in men.
Well.
And the argument all night was, I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm just talking to you guys, which is true. He didn't like touch my friend or try to kiss my friend.
Right. But he was flirting with her or whatever.
110%.
Wow.
Yeah. 110%. So they ended up coming to Avenue with us. But it was like, it would have been cool if you were just like acting like a homie. But the guy that was into me was being aggressive. Like if anyone looked at me or came up to like say anything to me, it was like as if I was with him for 10 years.
And what did you choose it based on? Why did
on Bumble?
Yeah,
you only do it based on looks,
right? But then didn't you talk to him before or
like briefly,
text him or something?
Like briefly.
Why? I mean, I would totally qualify them before I even go on the first date.
Why?
Because you don't.
You can't tell anything via text. You can't.
No, you can tell a little bit about the person's attitude.
He was nice over text. He was a douche in person. I even told him, I go, "Why are you a dick?"
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
He's like, I know a lot of people can't handle it. I go, it's not cute. It's not attractive.
Wow.
Yeah. So he was like, no,
but I think you go about it all wrong. You got to qualify the person first. Otherwise, you wasted your time. You're taking a big chance.
After the club, he goes, do you guys want protein shakes? I said, this is never going to work.
My God.
This is never going to work.
Yeah. I know. You know what? If I was a man, I'd give up on... I mean, if I was a woman, I'd give up
on... There was this really, really...
There's so many fucking assholes.
What, guys, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, No, take me to Barry's Pizza and get me the lobster pizza. That's what I want, not a fucking protein shake.
Oh, my God.
So anyways, they ended up staying for a while, and he's like, you're just too intense. Like, talking about me as if I'm intense.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm like, I go, honey, you haven't even seen intense yet, because I don't even like you.
Wow.
Imagine if I like you, then I'm really intense.
So you told him that.
Yeah, we like argued all night.
Really? At what point did you decide to put an end to it?
Like at 4 a.m. because he just would not fuck off.
Yeah.
And so finally I was like, hey guys, I'm not feeling well. But there was like this really attractive Middle Eastern guy outside of Avenue who came up to me and was like talking to me.
Right.
And he ran up in the middle of the conversation and grabs my arm and said, we're leaving.
Really?
And I was like, yo, I met you 4 hours ago.
Yeah.
4 hours ago. Yeah. So Bumble's working out great for all the ladies out there looking for Bumble dates.
It sounds like it, my God.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, let's bring in our guest right now because your stories are making my head spin sometimes. Okay, go ahead, get close to the mic, guys.
Yes, I'm here.
And we're joined by Roni and, was it?
Margaret.
Margaret, that's what I thought it was.
Is Maggie your nickname?
No.
Yeah, that's why like, I was going to say Maggie. Yeah, but you know why? I don't
What's
know why
nickname,
I'm taking
then?
This chance. I have your names right
really?
Here. So, Roni Geva and Margaret Catch, right?
Yeah.
There we go. Now we know who they are.
It's true.
Welcome to the show, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us. I should have known better than to bring more liberals into this room. But the thing is... No, I'm kidding.
No, you're outnumbered by strong, badass women.
But very feminist, too? Would you
say? Oh, absolutely.
Strong feminist.
Yeah. Okay, I wouldn't qualify myself as a feminist.
Right.
Do you believe that women should have equal rights to men?
Yeah.
Then you're a feminist.
I'm not a diehard feminist.
No. I think there's a misconception about what a feminist is, and truly a feminist is someone who believes that women should have equal rights to men.
Right. That's it.
There's a misconception that it means that we all burn bras. I need to wear a bra, so I will never burn my bra. It's you can be whatever kind of feminist you are.
But if you believe
in your heart of hearts that men and women should have equal rights in the workplace, in the world, wherever, on a bus, I don't give a shit.
Right.
Then you're a fucking feminist.
Right. So I believe that. So am I a feminist?
Yes, you are. Congratulations.
I always believed in equal rights.
Then you are.
But there's a lot of militant feminists too, right? And I think they give feminists a bad name.
What do you... I want to know what you think is a militant feminist.
Okay, I'll tell you. One that actually shows a distaste for men or resentment or things like anger.
I agree with that. There are feminists like that for sure.
But there are women like that. There are men like that.
There are men who show distaste for women.
I agree with that as well.
Right,
One of them is running this country.
Okay, so yeah. they're extreme too, you know? That's what I'm saying.
All kinds of... I think all kinds of people have an extreme version of them.
Right.
But the word feminist doesn't mean that there's a specific kind of woman who believes in equal rights. It's just someone who believes in equal rights, whether they're a man or a woman.
Okay, we'll accept that. That's easy to take. Yeah. You know, that's a simple
explanation. We're all feminists here.
It's really not a controversial thing to be a feminist. That's the thing that blows my mind when people are like, oh, you guys are such feminists. I'm like, Yes, yeah. So are you.
Let me
ask you a question on that note. Yeah. So if a woman and a man are working at the same facility, mm-hmm. and it has to do with like lifting 100-pound boxes, obviously Joe is going to have a better chance of doing that than Becky.
If she can carry it, I'd give it to her.
Yeah, if she can't, and she's arguing, hey, I want to get paid the same, is that like crossing a line there? Because I feel like if she doesn't have the ability to do it, I don't think she should be getting paid the same.
Right, but if a man walks in who is this teeny weeny little waif person, because those men also exist.
Yes, they do, for sure. I've seen them.
I am a tiny, tiny girl, and same. I can beat those men. So if it's me and teeny weeny little waif man, mm-hmm. and we're both like, hi, can I have this job? And it pays, you know, $20 an hour or whatever.
Right.
And I can lift it, but he can't, then I should get the job.
Yeah.
But if it's me and a quarterback from a football team, he should get the job because I'm a tiny, tiny little person who should not be lifting 100-pound.
I mean, the right person for the job is the right person for the job, and whoever can't do the job shouldn't have the job.
It doesn't matter what their gender is, but whatever the job is, if you're qualified to get it, you should get paid the same no matter what your gender is.
Right.
The problem is that shit ain't happening.
And yeah, like Mark Wahlberg and Michelle Williams. What is it? All the Money in the World?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then he donated it, and you know that made him cringe all the way inside. Like, he had to donate it.
Yeah.
I bet he didn't want to, but he had
to. But I'm glad he did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And also, you know what? He got money to spare, so
yeah,
thank
he does.
You.
He's Marky like filming Mark, every 2 days.
Yeah. Marky Mark is okay.
He's so hot.
So, you see, the thing is that I totally never looked at an employee like they're a guy or a girl, thus I'm going to pay her less. So it's hard for me to understand. Why do people do this? Because they can get away with it and pay less?
Yes, because men are afraid of women's power. And that's always been the case. And that's a really sad thing because a lot of studies have found that when women actually are in power, things get done more efficiently. Mm-hmm. There's more negotiation. There's less ego. So... I think it's really, really sad that to this date, men are afraid of women and need to put them down.
I also think specifically
afraid of their ability to bear children.
And I also think that, like, on top of that, there is this historical situation in which women were not given jobs, right? So, like, women weren't able to work. So then when they were able to work, it was like, well, we're doing you a real big favor, so we'll give you whatever we decide to give you. And then to save on the bottom line, they were able to give them less money. Right. So now we're starting a relay race or just a running race, and the men have like 17 laps ahead of the women,
mm-hmm.
right? But then they're like, but hey, women, you get to race in the first place. You should just be thankful. Mm-hmm. Instead of saying, well, when you got the job, you should have right away have been given an equal amount of money.
Right.
So this is like a historical situation as well. So it's not just about the emotional impact of whether a man is intimidated by a woman or not, it's also about the fact that historically women were getting paid less. So now to have it all catch up and be equalized is hard.
Right.
Right.
But also at the same time, we're trying to undo something that has existed for thousands of years, whereas women were considered less than men.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think women have made quite a headway. But like you probably say, there's a long way to go still, right?
Absolutely.
Both, right. both right. of those things are true, yeah.
But what I'm saying is to change thousands of years in about 50 years is not easy, you know? It's like you got to let another generation or two pass where the younger people now understand that more.
And it's I don't even think that if generations from now pass, I still feel like that's going to be a struggle. I feel like this is always going to be a struggle.
Know. I don't think so. I don't think so.
Always optimistic that, you know, justice is a coming.
And the more, the more work we do now and the more we do to equalize, then the easier time the next generation is going to have.
Because I think it's really easy to, like, just kick the ball down and say, oh, you know what, we're doing the best that we can. Oh, I'm real tired. I'm going to let the next generation take over for me.
Right.
That's super easy and lazy to do. And instead, I'm going to fight till my dying breath to make sure that there's equality and justice in the world. And whatever I see as equality and justice for me, right? So that I can take care of that for me and hopefully have an impact in the world.
Right. Well, I don't know if in the world you'll be able to do that, but at least in America, I mean, you go to some of those Muslim countries, you'll never win there. You know what I'm saying?
Not yet.
Okay, well,
we are eternal
That
optimists.
Would take a long time.
I believe.
They just give 10 driver's licenses to Saudi Arabian women.
That is
10.
A step.
Yeah.
Right? And
we have so many more steps.
And you know what? That step deserves a freaking victory lap.
Well, yeah, because and they have a modern sort of prince, which has decided to modernize his country a little bit. Because he realizes if I stay isolated, then I stay in the Stone Age. I mean, look at all these Arab and Muslim countries that have like are still stuck like hundreds of years behind.
Right,
you know?
That's true.
Because in their religion, it's like women don't drive, women don't work, women don't do this, women do that, and in those patriarchal societies, we see how well they're running their society, right? I mean, where women are totally oppressed and shit, you know. So what I'm saying is, you got to look at the positive and realize that women have made quite a long way from where they were.
And I think it's really about appreciating all the steps that we've done and doing victory laps for every single one of them. Yeah. And then also looking at the bigger picture and seeing where we want to go. I think it's both about progress and about appreciation.
Right. So, I mean, are you guys open to other opinions too, like to men's opinions, or are you pretty much everywhere?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, okay.
That's the whole
All
thing.
Right, so we'll talk about that. You also came to promote your show, right?
We have an
abortion comedy. It's called Control Alt Delete.
Yes.
It sure is.
Wow.
What a clever title.
That was all Roni.
Thank you.
That's actually really clever.
Thank you. Boop, boop, boop. Get it out.
Abortion was actually a stand-up joke last night. It didn't hit well.
No.
You know, it's really hard to do a good abortion joke.
Yeah,
I appreciate
right?
when they're well done, but it's very, very seldom that I hear one that's actually funny.
Right.
Agreed.
But yet you wrote a comedy about it.
We sure did.
Wow.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that. We'll get to it. But let's discuss some of the things of why you're here and what you believe and all that stuff. So what made you decide to write a comedy about abortion?
So when we had our abortions, separately.
Not together.
Yep.
Not together.
I know it's
not
like we do.
It wasn't a couple's thing.
Hey, Margaret, what
Let's
are you doing?
Get abortions! Yeah, no. Not so much, no. But we had similar experiences where we both looked to the media. We were like, dear internet, are there any people like us in the media who've had abortions? And we didn't find anything. We both didn't feel guilty. We were really relieved that we got the opportunity to take out this
potential
clump of cells. And so when we started coming together to create our own film and TV projects, we really wanted to create something that would show our stories and lots of other stories so that people could have something to identify with, because we had nothing to identify with.
And it was really difficult because so many of the stories that you see in the media about abortion are incredibly fraught, or they're about a really young woman who's like just trapped and doesn't know what to do.
Not that doesn't happen, but it's actually rare. 61% of women who have abortions already have kids.
Right.
That's not portrayed in the media.
Right.
And, I wouldn't have guessed that.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's also not portrayed that most women actually feel relieved and they do not have regrets.
Right.
And that's not a story that's told. Instead, we're told that this is a shameful and terrible thing, that it's a fraught and difficult choice. I literally just had a conversation with a friend of mine who said that he didn't understand how anybody could ever trivialize abortion. And I said, well, would you trivialize a vasectomy?
Right.
And he said, well, I guess, yeah, we can make jokes about vasectomies. And I said, okay, so I get where you are coming from and how you feel about abortion. But to me, abortion is just another medical procedure that's done.
Right.
That's a choice of the person who's having the medical procedure.
Right.
Period. But that story isn't told in the media. And right. So when we decided to start making projects, we were working on stuff and we were working on a feature actually. And Margaret was like, oh shit, this is going to take like 10 years to make. And I said, that's right.
Right.
What are we going to do in the meantime? She goes, let's make a web series. And I said, great. What do you want to make it about? And she goes, abortion. And I said, okay, but only if it's funny.
And I was like, obviously. We basically can't we can't make things without bringing humor to it because that's just what we do in our
lives. Yeah, nobody would want to watch anyway, right?
I would.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, it's too heavy.
I can watch shows without comedy, but I prefer to laugh a little
bit. Yeah, especially if it's a serious topic like this.
So I mean, abortion is a very touchy subject.
It's
one of the most charged topics we have right now.
I feel like anytime it's brought up on the show, it's like we kind of like try to end it early.
Oh, really?
Did you notice that? We're like, let's stop.
Oh, when we talk about abortion?
It's like
well, today
the
we don't have to decide.
Seriously, that was one of the reasons that we really wanted to make this show, because whenever I would bring it up, not that I would just bring it up willy-nilly in every conversation, but whenever it would come up, it would shut down the conversation like I'd mentioned the Holocaust. It just like is a conversation shutter downer.
Right.
And it doesn't have to be because it's so normal.
Or right. People would be whispering about it. So I would say like, oh, I had my abortion and blah, 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 right? And then two other women in the room would later come find me and be like, I had an abortion too.
Right,
like
right.
Whispering to me. And I'm like, okay, can we just take the shame away, please?
Right, right.
I agree that the shame needs to be taken away, but I also, I'm kind of on the standpoint where I feel like there should be like a little bit more of a reason to get an abortion.
Sure.
I'm one of those.
But here's the thing. I don't know what your reason is, but whatever your reason is, I'm okay with it.
Right.
So if your reason is, I just don't want to have kids, okay. If your reason is, this fetus has a lot of genetic abnormalities, okay. If your reason is, well, the person I'm with is not the person I want to have kids with, okay.
So what it comes down to really is, do we trust women to make their own decisions and have their own reasons, or do we have to make reasons for them? Because that really is what this conversation is about. My best friend who is
That's
a dude,
good question.
Right?
Because I feel like sometimes you have to... I feel like some women aren't capable of making the correct decision.
Well, and who are we to say what that is, right?
Right.
Like my best friend, he was like, so when do you think that we should cut off having abortions? And I was like, I don't. I don't think there should be a cutoff, because it comes down to, do we trust women to make the right decision for them or don't? Don't we? I mean, does it mean that
what do you
I
mean by cutoff?
Should we stop abortions at 20 weeks or 25 weeks or 30 weeks? Or when should we stop allowing abortions at what point in the pregnancy? And I was
so
like,
so you're saying even at
so.
Late stage?
Truly. Because here's the thing. Absolutely. Because once you get to the late stage, really the only reason that someone's going to have an abortion is that there is such a horrible medical abnormality and either the life of the fetus or the life of the mother or both is in danger. And once you get to that point, it's almost impossible to even get, and only 4 people in this country actually perform late term abortions.
Right.
And it's so expensive. It costs tens of thousands of dollars because it's not covered by insurance. Even when it's medically necessary, it's still not covered by insurance.
And the thing about it is, there's so much misinformation about late-term abortion because people are like, oh, well, those women are just irresponsible and they just found out at 25 weeks that they're... That's not what's happening. What's happening is that women are faced with a horrible decision of, okay, do I go through with this and get to, you know, 38, 40 weeks and then have a child that will die within 10 minutes of being born or that will die within 2 days of being born? Do I go through with that and also maybe die in the process of giving birth to this child? Or do I do this incredibly difficult and sad thing?
Right.
And so what breaks my heart is that these women who do have to have late-term abortions are villainized because there's misinformation. And that just makes me so sad for them because they're going through this shit.
And who am I to tell them that they can't make that choice? Who am I to tell them that they have to bring, they have to birth a child who would be in terrible pain or who would die or who might kill them? Who am I to make that choice for them? Nobody. Right. I'm not able to make that choice.
Okay, so let me bring up like the other side, okay?
Right. Yeah.
And because I need some answers. I need some answers.
We'll see if we have them.
Yeah. Now, the first, I'm sure you will.
We are not experts. We are I'm sure you will.
Because you've thought about it a lot more than I have.
Yeah.
All right. The thing is this. Well, there's so many things I want to say. But first of all, okay, we're talking about a woman has a say over her body, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Okay. But a baby or a fetus is not her body. It's something in her body. Wouldn't you argue? I mean, wouldn't you go with that?
So is a cancer growth.
Right. But that what does that also, have to do with it? But,
I'm just saying, that's not my body. That's something that's growing inside of my body that I don't want to have. So please remove the cancer. And from
yeah, but cancer is not what we're talking about, life.
So, okay? And that, this is because, a really interesting
question. No, but wait. No, no, I know, but let me finish the question
okay,
first.
Okay, sorry.
You see, they're all ready for all the questions.
We have so many opinions, and this is this is one of my most exciting topics.
We got really excited talking about this part.
Good,
actually,
so that's why I'm giving you the questions. Yeah, if we all agreed, it would be a boring conversation, believe me. The thing is this, is that I see the process of conception as the beginning of a life. Like you take a seed and it starts growing the plant, right?
Right.
Okay. Now, the thing is this. If you sanctify life like we do in Western society, at least, right? You're interfering with the process, no? If you left it alone, there would be life there. So you're interrupting the process. That's what I think. Go ahead.
Margaret.
Okay. And
then wait, just to add on to that question too, you just talked about late term abortion, and you mentioned it if the child was sick or if it's going to kill the mother who's carrying the child. But what about late term abortion where the child, the fetus is perfectly fine and
that hardly
so
ever happens? It just doesn't,
because there are only 4 doctors in the entire country who perform them. It costs tens of thousands of dollars to get those abortions, and it's just not something that somebody does because they feel like it or because willy-nilly.
That's
it's just not it doesn't happen.
And what makes me so sad is that level of misinformation that's been promoting like through Facebook and the world, it makes people think like, oh, well, late-term abortion, that just happens all the time. And it just doesn't.
It almost
doesn't. Okay. But let's talk about when life starts.
I love this. And we can tag team this, Roni.
Hit me.
Right.
Okay. Because I was actually thinking about this very recently because some people talk about life beginning at conception. And I was trying to figure out when do I actually believe life begins. But here's the thing. I don't believe a tiny little fetus that's only a few weeks old is a person.
No. But it has the potential, right?
Yes, it does have the potential.
And you're interfering with the process of him becoming a person. I'm just asking. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I would take that to, we interfere with that process in so many different ways. And I don't have
a
problem.
What do you mean, who's we?
Humanity interferes with that process at many different stages. We prevent death later on. We actually, when people get really sick, we take them to the hospital. We are interfering with the natural order of life in that way.
Right, but we're extending their life.
Sure.
What about when the fetus gets a heartbeat?
So this is a really interesting thing that I was thinking. So, to me, heartbeat does not mean person. We don't actually consider people to be dead until their brain activity is completely shut off. Someone's heart can stop and then it can start back up again. But a tiny little fetus that has a heartbeat doesn't have brain activity. It can't feel anything. It can't think anything. It doesn't feel pain. Feel pain until way, way late in the process, actually.
There's a great article by a doctor in Canada who describes how misnaming it the fetal heartbeat bill, for instance, makes it an emotional topic when really, I forget the exact scientific term. And again, we're entertainers. We are not scientists. Mm-hmm. just disclaimers all around. But there is a different name, like the actual scientific name for it is something like a muscle contraction, right? So it's not actually like a human heart, like the way we see it. So the problem is it comes down to what you believe and what I believe about when life starts and what you believe and what I believe about what does it mean for a thing to be a baby or right. just a clump of cells that have joined together to right. be
but,
potential?
But what if we're wrong? What if we're wrong about that? And actually, there is life before that. We just don't understand it, okay? There's a lot of things we don't understand.
That's why
I'm just saying if we... Look, you said there's a lot of ways to interfere with life, right? But I would say most, if not all of them, are illegal, like to kill someone. Suicide is even illegal. Any interference with life is illegal.
Well,
but it comes from life. What?
With human life. I mean, we interfere with animal life all the time. And, like, I mean, I'm not going to get into all the animals and how smart they are. But, I mean, like, pigs are smarter than dogs. And we eat them all the time. So, I mean, there are many different ways to interfere with life that we do on a regular basis. And
but I'm talking about human life, sure. okay, which we sanctify. Animals mm-hmm. are lesser than us as far as society is concerned. So, go ahead.
I love animals.
No, true, true.
Like, makes me sad.
But listen, they, you know, it's like they're not like people. Animals are not like people. They're living
That's
things.
Another whole argument, Sam. We're right. another show.
I mean, right, I could get into that argument, too.
Okay.
But we don't need to do that. I mean, we can stay okay. on topic. We can do that later.
Okay. There's a few really interesting podcasts that I would recommend. One is called...
Science versus Abortion. So it's Science versus is an amazing podcast. And the Science versus Abortion specific one is all about abortion from or fetus growth and abortion from a very scientific point of view that has no point of view about whether it's right or wrong. It just talks about like what happens at this stage and what happens at this
and
stage.
I would also add I know you're gonna go back but wait, it's potential. Okay, yeah. So here's the thing, Sam, have you ever masturbated?
All the time.
Terrific. You right. are committing like daily genocide.
No.
But that's human potential.
No, it's not, because it's not. Sperm by itself cannot create life.
Sure, but
okay.
But it's potential to create life, just like when sperm and egg meet together. That's just a bunch of cells that combine. That's potential. I could have a miscarriage in 3 days, and then it won't be a thing anymore, right?
Right, like, but what I'm talking about is life is looking at life as the ultimate thing, you know? And what I mean, look, there's a lot of questions.
But are you saying that women are just incubators then?
No, not at all.
And are you saying that war should never, ever happen and we should never kill somebody ever for any reason?
No, because I don't think that at all.
Because I think that killing a fully formed human through war is a terrible thing.
Right, but what if somebody starts a war against you? What are you going to do?
Sure, but I'm just saying, like,
it doesn't make it any more sad or any more equal to having an abortion.
Well, but the thing is this, look, if someone comes and tries to kill you, right? Killing them is okay, I think, in any society. You need to preserve your own life first. What, you're going to let them kill you?
There you go. Okay, so that's a really great point that you just made.
You just said you need to preserve your own life first.
Right,
yes?
Absolutely.
So if I, let's say I'm fictitiously pregnant right now.
Right.
Okay. And this baby, having it will kill me, ruin my life, destroy everything in me, destroy my body.
Yeah.
So wait, isn't it my right?
But what do you mean destroy your body? Like stretch marks, but then, overweight.
I mean, like, there are women who, if they get
but
pregnant.
But because you guys keep bringing up women that have health problems. Let's talk about abortion if they're healthy.
I was perfectly healthy.
Right.
I was with...
As was I.
An emotionally abusive person.
Right.
Who would not have been a good father to this child.
Right.
I was in a place where I couldn't possibly afford it or give it a good life. And right. I was in a place where I knew that it would be financially impossible for me to actually be pregnant and care for myself well as a pregnant person.
Right.
And that it would be psychologically damaging to me as a person, just having been through therapy and whatnot, right. to carry baby to full term and have and give it up for adoption. I knew that that would actually lead me to commit suicide. So for me, when I had my abortion, it was to save my life.
Right. And now, why did you get pregnant in the first place?
Because my birth control failed.
Your birth control
pills? It does happen, Sam.
I was on control pills, right. And I took antibiotics, and the doctor who gave me the antibiotics did not tell me that sometimes when you take antibiotics, they render the birth control pill ineffective.
Right, but even then, birth control is not 100%. I mean...
It's not.
Yeah,
it's
not 100%, yeah. Right?
Sure. Okay,
right.
So you're telling me that I should have just been abstinent?
No, I'm just saying
protection.
That...
Protection.
You know,
that's what he's saying.
Right, no, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying
because
is if you have sex...
Yes.
Okay, then you're... taking the possibility that there will be pregnancy.
Sure. And I'm also taking the possibility, like, I'm taking lots of precautions, and I got pregnant even though I was really good about taking the pill and I was really good about being responsible. And guess what? I got pregnant anyway, and I was not in a place where that would have been a positive situation in my life. In fact, I dare say it would have been a disastrous situation in my life. And right. So because it is legal and because it's my life and my body, and someone was threatening my life and my body, and that someone was the potential of maybe having a baby one day,
mm-hmm.
I said, no, thank you.
Yeah.
And guess what? I'm so grateful that I did.
Yeah.
And
I agree
with that as well, because there's plenty of people where they're like in a position where it's like, well, why did you have a kid? Because you weren't, like, you're not in a position to have a kid, so why do you have a kid? Just for me, from my personal opinion, I'm totally okay with that. And I know you guys don't think a heartbeat is anything, but I'm okay with that unless there's a heartbeat.
So a heartbeat starts at about, the muscle contraction starts at about 6 weeks. Yeah. Most women don't even know they're pregnant at 6 weeks.
I know, that's a difficult part. So I'll tell you two stories. My sister, she has a kid now, but when she got pregnant, it was with a total douche. Wasn't planned. It was like some guy she knew in high school, and they agreed that she was going to go get an abortion. So her first pregnancy, she didn't really know what she was doing. So they went to Planned Parenthood, and they spelled her name incorrectly on her insurance card, so they wouldn't give her the abortion that day, but they're like, we'll give you an ultrasound. She heard the baby's heartbeat, and she was like, fuck this, I'm a mom, and she kept the kid.
And that's her decision.
Yeah.
And it's good to have.
It's been really difficult for her, but he's a blessing. But on another instance, one of my closest friends, I'm not going to mention her name because she'd be so upset, she got pregnant with kind of like a similar situation, emotionally abusive, horrible. He had no money. She had no money. It just wouldn't have been a good situation. So she had an abortion. I'm not quite sure what week it was at. I don't think there was a heartbeat, but like, she's okay. She's relieved. She never brings it up. No one ever brings it up. And it's like, her life is great now because she doesn't have a kid, which is like a touchy subject because there could be so many, like, I feel like if somebody gets raped, absolutely you need to have a right to say, I don't want to keep this child. I also feel like if you're in a position where the child is going to have a horrible life and you're also going to have a horrible life, I think you should get an abortion.
So would a woman have to prove that she was raped in order to have an abortion then?
No.
Okay, so then,
so, well, no,
right? Okay.
But that's where it gets touchy, right?
Right.
So when we start giving the lists of when it's okay and when right. it's not okay, that's when we're getting into a person's, like, what is it called? Constitutional right to seek happiness and the person, you know, the pursuit right. of happiness and all that. Because we're getting into their privacy in a way that, you know, supposedly our government is not supposed to get into
and
our privacy.
And I don't believe a woman should have to prove that she was raped in order to have an abortion. And mm-hmm. if that was the law, that it was only in a case of rape and incest, then you would have to prove it somehow. So then a woman can't just say, I was raped, so I don't want to have this person's child.
Okay.
You know? And yeah. some people get raped in a relationship, right?
Right.
That yeah, that's happens. True. That does happen. Yeah.
And right. and so then how do you say, you know, I was raped, but it was by my husband.
And a lot of people won't even say that they're raped because they're ashamed that
exactly.
they got raped. So it's, right. yeah, I mean, it's a touchy subject. But like, for instance, I have another friend who's had at least, I would say, 7 or 8 abortions. It's like every time she had sex, it was like she got pregnant. It was like her form of Plan B. And I'm like, you can't be doing that, girl.
I mean, the thing is that she can, though.
I know, and but it's that's kind of...
Do I agree with it?
Yeah.
I would say I would not want to get an abortion as a form of birth control because when I had my abortion, it was really painful. Yeah. I didn't like it. I don't want it. I didn't do it for fun.
I don't right. ever want to do that ever again.
I would
again.
Recommend right. that she tries different forms of birth control until she finds the one that's right for her.
Well, so now she's pregnant. I think she's about to pop. Okay. Well, I don't talk to her anymore.
But what I recommend or what I agree with is not the point, because the point is that it is legal, and that if it weren't legal, women would be having illegal abortions. Many more women would be dying. And we know women who've had illegal abortions because it's so hard and expensive to get abortion.
Yeah, it is. If you don't have insurance,
it's not
so
covered
costly.
By insurance.
Yeah.
It's not covered by insurance anywhere.
Mm-hmm. No.
So So people sometimes get illegal abortions because they can't afford the $825 it costs in Iowa to go get an abortion.
It's actually ridiculous how expensive they are.
It's insane. And because so many states make it so difficult to have them, that so you have to like travel like 6 hours to the nearest place that does an abortion. Right. And then there's a 48-hour waiting period after you get the ultrasound to make sure that you're of sound mind and you really want to do it. And then you pay for it and then you go home. So many women can't afford to do any of those things. They can't afford to stay overnight, two nights right. in.
And yet, if I want to buy a gun, I could just walk in and get one.
Right.
Like, I'm sorry. Why is my uterus regulated more seriously than a semi-automatic weapon? That's what I don't understand.
Well,
I
do yeah, my uterus. Comparing,
I do agree with that.
Comparing oranges
sure.
to apples. I mean, I don't think it's the same. But well, I don't want to get into gun control
we don't have
now.
To talk about guns.
Yeah, but let's go back
so
to abortion.
So many topics are dangerous to get into.
I do. You guys are fire here.
it's, you know,
we have but no we opinions. I don't understand. We have no opinions about anything.
Yeah.
Well, I do think it's a little bizarre if you go to a Planned Parenthood, even get like an STD check. There will be like people standing outside with like signs and like it's just like the most bizarre. It's like mm-hmm. 2018. Get the fuck out of here. I'm not against abortion like that. I do believe that women should have a choice. I don't think anyone should ever be like you can't do it. You know, there's plenty of people that if they were told they can't do that, their lives would be over. And those like there's plenty of people where I look at them and I'm like, why'd you have your kid?
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
And I hate to say that, but I'm like, why did you have your kid?
Yeah.
Right.
Like, that kid is having a shitty life, and you're having a shitty life, too.
I went right. to Walmart on Sunday, and there was a woman in there, and the way she was treating her child was cringeworthy to yeah. me. And in my head, I'm like, if you have so much hate for your kid in public like this, I can't imagine what it's like at home, and why did you have him?
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah. you know what? You're not going to end this by abortion. People are always going to like abuse kids and shit
that's
like
just
that.
A
you know?
That's a whole
and
different
that's a whole
right,
different topic.
Right,
but
that's,
if we're talking about before
but
it's born.
For that no. woman, if, you know what? She chose to have that kid.
Yeah.
That was her choice because, yeah. again, in this yeah. country.
But then again, maybe people can't afford it.
Well, absolutely.
Because yeah. like abortions are not cheap.
They're not.
No, well, they're not yeah. cheap. Exactly. And I mean, this is kind of...
Some insurances cover insurance. It though now, though.
Yes, because a person, sorry, mm-hmm. in our life did use insurance.
But then if you're okay. looking, but
only certain, I think like maybe yeah. 1 out of 5 million insurance companies
I'm sure.
cover it. Yeah. yeah.
Let me ask you something, ladies. Yeah. In your private lives, are you spiritual? Do you have any like?
Yeah,
we
you
both
do.
We both attend the same temple, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So let me
and
ask
actually,
you this.
I love the Jewish perspective on abortion. I think it's so good.
What is it? Tell us.
So I talked to my rabbi. I talked to my rabbi about this because I was really interested.
Is and that a male rabbi or a female rabbi?
I talked to a female rabbi.
Okay.
The temple has three rabbis: two female and one man.
Yeah.
Okay.
And she said a couple of things that I thought were so interesting. The first one is that. In the Torah, there's a story about a man who punches a pregnant woman in the stomach.
To and try to abort it?
Nope.
Just, no.
He's a terrible person. He punches a woman in the stomach. Like, the end.
Jeez.
Yeah. Terrible, right. terrible person. We can talk about that some other time. But
on a scale of 0 to terrible, he's a 10,000.
He's a terrible person. Yeah. Right. So he punches her in the stomach, and she miscarries. And he is ordered to pay reparations to her husband. We can also talk about how much that is.
Was it a random stranger?
It was a random stranger punches a woman in the stomach. He's ordered to pay reparations to her husband. This shows a couple of things. First of all, it shows how incredibly sexist it was. But
yeah,
also,
why is a husband
right?
getting...
Well, exactly. But that aside, it shows that since he wasn't put to death for taking a life,
he was paying for destruction of property.
Uh-huh.
So that means that it's not great, like... We don't love it, but it's not the same as taking a life.
Right.
And then she also said that the rabbis do say that, and I think this is so beautiful, that until the head or the greater part of the fetus is out of the mother's health is the number one priority, and that includes mental health. And I think that that's just a really beautiful way of taking care of women. And so that
right.
made me really, it was
right,
really
but
I
was
not
asking,
what I expected.
I was asking if you're yeah. spiritual, not religious or anything. I mean, just
sure.
without a religion, without thinking what Jewish people say, what Christians and so
totally.
Forth.
Totally.
Do you believe in people come here? Do you believe in karma? Do you believe in journeys? You know,
so basically,
like
do
this.
You believe if you could get karma if you get an abortion?
No. That's exactly, that's not what I'm looking for. What I'm looking for is, do you have that notion that maybe if you were faced with those difficulties in your life, okay, you ended up with a guy and all this stuff, you know, it's a consequence of all our actions, wouldn't you say? Everything that happens to us. In other words, to me, it's like taking a shortcut. If I had like, I could say this, look, my life is miserable because this person's making me miserable, so I'll kill them and then my life will be better. I'm not talking about a baby, I'm talking like a wife or a husband.
Right.
They're getting in my way, I'm going to kill them. In business, you have a competitor, they come, they make my life fucking miserable, I'll kill him, you know? What do you think? Don't you think we should deal with whatever life gives us and with our decisions?
Yes, I absolutely
I do. I am a strong believer in choices and consequences. Our life
and responsibility and taking responsibility. Huge.
Absolutely. And so when it comes to, you know, everything in my life, I absolutely take responsibility. I was with the wrong man. I take responsibility for that. I broke up with him because I didn't want to be, because actually I had a kind friend who was kind enough to say to me, I hate the way he talks to you.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden I heard it and I said, I hate the way he talks to me too. And then I broke up with him. Thank God, because shortly thereafter, I met a very wonderful, nice, glorious awesome. Human being who makes me so happy. But that being said, yes, absolutely. I take responsibility. I believe that every single one of those little choices had a consequence. Absolutely.
And the important thing to me is whether we learn from them and how we deal with each one and how we can grow as a person from each of the choices that we make. Because I think that's really what life is about making choices, learning from them, growing, and making more choices, learning from them, and then growing as a person.
I definitely don't think women should be viewed as bad people for getting abortions. No, it's horrible.
Not about bad people and good people. You know, it's about the fact that, again, I keep going back to life because it's so important that you talk about Judaism and everything and why you have to save yourself first, because life is so important. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. So when you're on an airplane, they tell you to put the gas mask on your face
before.
Oxygen mask.
Right.
The oxygen mask on your face first, and then to help the children or the elderly next to you, right?
Right. So and they say also, you know, that if you, there's a lot of rules, like you can't do this, you can't do that, but like, for example, in Judaism, you can violate a lot of things if you're saving a life. You know, like the Sabbath, for example, and things like that, you know. So, again, I'm trying to just show that life is very important. And not only that, we don't create it. How can we possibly end it?
We don't end it all the time.
No, but that's just what I'm saying. But you talk about war, and I told you that I don't justify killing people, but if someone comes to kill me, I'm going to kill them.
Exactly. So if you feel like your life or your health is in danger, then it's okay. If you feel like your life is in danger, then you said it's okay.
Right.
And what I'm saying is that when I got pregnant, I felt like my whole life was in danger.
Yeah, but physically? Physically, were you going to like die or something or be
sick? Well, you just said if someone comes at you in business, you can kill them.
No, he's
giving an example.
I'm giving an example of why I can't do it.
But I think
this
all still boils down to the fact that for you, in your opinion, you believe that just sperm and egg is life. That's what you believe.
And not just life, but human,
like a whole human person. And I'm going to speak for myself, but I believe Margaret feels the same way.
Bring it on.
I just don't believe that.
How do you believe that life happens?
Well, it's
we don't know, right? We're not God. We don't know.
I think it's kind of like an acorn is in a tree. And that's how I feel about a fetus. A fetus isn't a person. It's the potential to be, just like an acorn is the potential to be a tree, but it's not yet.
An acorn can become a tree? Exactly. I never knew that. I literally never knew
seed.
That.
It's a seed, yeah.
I had no clue.
An acorn that becomes an oak tree. Oh. If it's planted and it grows well and everything.
Look what came out of today's
talk. I know.
Like, something.
Jeez. Amazing. Jeez.
Well, we always educate and entertain. Now, listen, we're totally out of time. We didn't even feel that we were going through so much. Let's promote the comedy. Tell people how they can watch it. And I'm sure a lot of people are now interested.
Now that they
have your opinions and everything.
Well, we've gotten a lot of people both loving what we're doing and hating what we're doing. So we're used to that. Oh, my gosh. Well, Glenn Beck did a whole rant on how terrible the show is. And then the Washington Post did a whole thing on how we're normalizing the conversation. So lots of people have lots of opinions.
I feel like it's definitely a conversation to be had, but I also feel like it's always going to be like a heated conversation.
Absolutely. And that may always be the case, but I think the more we talk about it, the less shame there's going to be.
Right.
And that's really our entire goal in doing our show is to minimize the shame that women feel around this very normal procedure. So right. if people want to see it,
okay,
they can go
I do.
To our Facebook page, facebook.com/controlaltdeleteshow, and it's CTRLALTDELETE show.
Show. Cool. And our first season has...
Is it on YouTube?
It's not.
Just we
on
just
Facebook.
Released it on Facebook.
Oh.
Cool. So our first season has 7 episodes. It's an anthology. So each one is one woman's abortion story. And we're currently working on season 2.
And we did interview...
Oh, that's clever.
We did interview all 7 women. So these are all based on real stories as well.
Now, yeah. That would be really interesting to hear other people. And then you have a website, too. People can watch all the episodes
that's
there,
right?
Mm-hmm. Give it to them?
Yeah. Well,
you it's controlaltdeleteshow.com. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. And okay. Maybe if you just Google it, because the spelling is not traditional, but...
The spelling is how it looks like on a computer.
Yeah, so D-E-L.
Yeah, so C-T-R-L-A-L-T-D-E-L.
Right, but then you add the E-T-E and the show.
It's on the E-T-E, because we were looking at a computer, and that's how it looked on that specific computer. And we were like, well, I guess that's how we're going to spell it then. And it turned out to be a terrible idea, because there were like 5 different spellings that we possibly
could. Right, how can you spell it?
I know. That was really dumb of us.
But you meant by this, like, reboot, restart,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Okay.
So when you're looking at your computer and everything is stuck and you need to get out, what right. do you do?
Control, yeah. delete. I think it's a very clever idea.
Well, Roni Geva, Margaret Catch, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
So do you want to give your personal Facebooks or do
sure.
you want to...
You can find us on Instagram, actually. It's the best. Mine is @TheRoniGeva.
And mine is @MargaretCatch. And we also are on Instagram as @Control-Alt-Delete-Show.
Awesome.
Okay, cool, yeah.
All right, well, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank
you made
you.
The show
thank
very interesting.
Yeah.
And you know what? You welcome back anytime. We can continue the conversation.
I would love to.
We
love talking about things.
Yeah, I feel like we just hit like the...
Yeah.
I feel like you guys can come back and just talk about whatever subjects
yeah,
you want.
Like, pick something from the news and we'll talk about
right,
it.
Right, exactly.
Absolutely.
And I feel like it would be like a good conversation.
Oh, that's the best compliment ever. Thank you.
You guys both talk very intelligently.
Well, good. They should. They representing a movement.
Yes,
you know?
That's true.
They gotta represent it.
That's very true.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for watching and listening. Danny, thank you as always.
You're welcome.
Even though I can't see your friggin' eyes.
My the bags under my eyes are crazy. Yeah. I'm just trying to get my life together.
Yeah, like anybody's gonna notice. Just take them off. Come on. It's worse when you can't see a person.
Show's over.
Eyes.
Bye.
Bye.
Listening to Sam in the Morning with Danny, only on LA Talk Radio.